our byline, I guess you would say, is radio worth listening to. Oh, not worth listening to because of your host, worth listening to because we are reflecting upon the precious book divine. The only thing that makes life worthwhile, the only thing that makes life worth living is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this is radio worth listening to because we're going to reflect upon the precious book divine. So if you're listening to us via TGRN, we want to welcome you to the program as well. But it may be that you've joined us on our newest format, and that is YouTube Studio Live. And so we're grateful that you're able to be with us on that. And TGRN and YouTube both have a chat window, and you're welcome to join us. And that's a part of our Bible study. What you say in the chat window may make it to the air. And all of these items are then uploaded to the Nesbitt Church of Christ YouTube website so that they can be studied and viewed later. And so if you don't get an opportunity to listen live or an opportunity to listen all the way through, you can always go back. I do believe that TGRN still does a loop so that if you're not able to listen to us at 11:30 a.m., to 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, then you can listen to us at 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time right there on thegospelradionetwork.org. All right, let's see here. What else do I have? Oh, I want to extend this invitation to anyone that is out, that is listening to us, to come by and join us if you're ever in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area. Now, you might be saying, where is Nesbitt, Mississippi? Well, if you're not familiar with this program, then we're nestled right up in the northwest corner, of Memphis, we'll cut that, we'll edit that. Well, I have no editing, this is live, so we'll just do it again. If you want to know where Nesbitt, Mississippi is, you have to go to the northwest corner of the state of Mississippi, and that is just south of Memphis, Tennessee. Now you can understand where my tongue got tangled up in that whole scenario. So northwest corner of the state of Mississippi, just south of Memphis, Tennessee, you will find Nesbitt, Mississippi, and the Nesbitt Church of Christ. And we would love to have you 9 a.m., for our Bible study on Sunday morning, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We hope that you're able to join us if you're ever in this area. Come by and see us. As that old commercial used to say, we'll leave the light on for you. And we hope that you will find us a pleasant, hospitable, sound congregation of God's people. The phone number today is 405-428-2440. This is a live daily broadcast of Reflections Radio. And we're certainly glad that you can be with us in this. Let's see here. What do we have? The 5th Annual Men's Development Conference is set in stone, or at least it's getting that way. June the 2nd through the 6th, speakers have been chosen, the lessons have been disseminated, and we are preparing ourselves, we are preparing ourselves for that wonderful lesson. And we hope that, let me just pause here. That's one of the things with the live program. Now, I used to have a cough button, and I could push the cough button, and you didn't have to tolerate my cough. I also had a song button so that when the songs were playing, you didn't have to listen to my voice. But I don't have those buttons anymore. This is freelance as it gets right now. And but we're glad that you've joined us today. Well, let's see. With all of those things out of the way, then I want to... let's go ahead and have our prayer and song, and then we'll have a minute with Brother Bonner, at least in text form. And let's go ahead and do that. So shall we pray? Our most loving Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee at this time, we do recognize that we do not belong within Thy presence save for the blood of Jesus Christ, save for our obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We recognize, our Heavenly Father, that Thou art a majestic and awesome and holy God, and that You are above and beyond all that that Thou hast created, including us, and we strive to be like unto Thee. We pray that our Bible study today and our study hall will be beneficial to the lives of those that will take the opportunity to be able to participate in this Bible study. We pray for all of our students. We pray for all those that might happen upon this program, that they might be blessed and that they might be edified. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of this winter storm that has enveloped a great part of this nation of ours, and we pray for all of those individuals who are struggling with this, individuals that might be out of power and struggling, but also, our Heavenly Father, we pray for all of those that are taking care of those issues for us, that are placing their lives in danger, such as firemen and police officers and linemen. We know that they do a tremendous job in keeping things afloat for us so that we may experience the comforts of life and that we might not be strongly affected by this winter storm. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that as neighbors and brethren, that we might check on one another, that we might be mindful of those that are less fortunate than us. I want to thank You, Heavenly Father, for all of the great gifts that You have bestowed upon humanity during this particular time. May God, You continue to bless us and strengthen us. May our resolve always be to glorify Thee. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Who's that walking down the road, carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down. You're walking on heaven's road, and when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said He'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no people crying there. Ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't no need to shed a tear. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said He'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired and worn. We're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said He'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Ah, my friends, that song is such a great encouragement to the child of God. That we can walk on heaven's road, that God would so bless us with the death of His Son, with the shedding of that blood, with the plan and scheme of redemption that has been outlined, our compliance with His will for us to obey allows us a sweet privilege that can only be described as amazing grace. And you've got to love that song as well. I may try to get Brother Paul Mays to put those parts together for us in regards to Amazing Grace. And he may already have that, and I just don't know, but I will check on that and see. I love that song. It suggests the sentiment of an individual who truly understands his situation before God. Well, with that in mind, I do want us to pay just a little bit of attention. I've been trying to do a biblical minute with Mike Bonner, even though Mike is not with us. And you understand, if he was not so busy, I would have him on here every day. So sometimes we're just not able to accomplish all of those things that we would love to accomplish. And so, but he sent me this earlier this morning, and I thought, you know, normally I don't choose the one for today. I wait and do that later. But today I thought was very appropriate. He says, "Stay warm, my friend. As Peter was warming himself by the coals, hopefully you're keeping yourself as comfortable as possible." John 18:18. "Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Then he says, "Don't forget to warm yourself with the fire of God's word, as Jeremiah did," Jeremiah 20 and verse number 9. You know, I keep thinking about, as we're talking about this biblical minute, I think about Brother Bonner and the statement that he made. You know, Peter, while he is warming himself by this fire, forgets to warm himself with the word of God. He forgets all of those instructions that Jesus had given him about the fact that he was going to go to Jerusalem, that he was going to be betrayed, that he was going to die. In fact, if you look at Mark chapter 8, verse number 31, before this event by the fire, it says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and he be killed, and after 3 days rise again." In chapter 9, at verse number 31, "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after he is killed, he'll rise the third day." And then in chapter 10, in verse number 31, it says, "And when they were with him in the way up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid, and he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and they shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and they shall scourge him, and they shall spit upon him, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." So this is nothing that Peter should not be aware of, but while he's warming his hands by the fire, while he is warming his body by the fire, he's not warming his mind close to God. And so I appreciate Brother Bonner's minute that he spent with us today. With that in mind, I want us to enjoy this particular song, and then we will begin with our lesson today.
The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Keep silence. Keep silence.
silence me for him.
Amen. Our God rules. He is sovereign, and he should be taken seriously in regards to these things. And so today we're talking about this aspect of sticks and stones, where the words that we utilize oftentimes betray us. There is a betrayal. It promises that it's going to make us look better, and it makes us look bad. Words oftentimes, such as gossip and tale-bearing, backbiting, it says it's going to promote us, but in reality, it destroys us. So like Judas, sin, and that's what tale-bearing and whispering and backbiting is all about, it is sin. Sin kisses us, but then it seeks to kill us. It will always betray us in the end. And so vice wears a mask. It does not show us its true faith. Face. Sin promises us certain things, but in reality, it delivers something entirely different. It wears a disguise, you see. And so today we're probably going to be a little more blunt than normal. And we believe in being blunt. We believe in telling it like it is, not being rude. And sometimes there's a necessity to be rude, but that's not what our general disposition is all about. We're teachers. We want people to understand. Sometimes you have to be plain of speech for people to understand. I realize there's a time for parables and dark sayings and things such as that, but that's not what we're talking about. This is not the time for it. This is a time for plain speech. This is a time for boldness. This is a time to get people to understand clearly what is on the agenda. That's what we're talking about. Now listen, friends, I wouldn't do anything in the world to hurt anybody just for hurting them. And so maybe like that, what was that old illustration where a guy breaks into a house and the homeowner, obviously a Christian, he said, "Friend, I wouldn't hurt you for the world, but I'm about to shoot where you're standing." And if you happen to be standing in the way of where gossip and tale-bearing and backbiting and whispering and things such as that are, I'm about to shoot in your direction. So is certainly something that we ought to think about. Well, you've heard of the statement, "Houston, we have a problem," right? I came from a famous moon shoot, and they were having some difficulties in the space shuttle or the spacecraft, and they said, "Houston," and those words echo down through time. "Houston, we have a problem." Well, we do have a problem. It is estimated that 2/3 of all conversations is to some extent associated with gossip. 2/3. Now, that may be an overestimate. I don't know. I can't be the judge of all men's conversations, but it does interest me that 2/3, that's a huge... If that is the case, then Houston, we have a serious problem on our hands today, right? To sell a book, one of the ways to really catch people's attention today is to have a tell-all book, right? You can lie, you can spice it up, you can deceive or whatever, and leave certain things, pertinent facts out, or put certain things in that. But if you have a tell-all book, I want to tell all about the last administration. I want to tell all about this administration or whatever. Then people want to buy that kind of stuff. Why? Could it be that two-thirds of our conversations in and surrounding American people is all about gossip or around the world? It is also said by those who have studied this that when they study the brain in relationship to gossip and backbiting and whispering and things such as that, that they have said that there are certain endorphins that are released in the body. So it's much like smoking a cigarette or taking drugs or drinking alcohol, that gossip causes a euphoria about itself. Now, what that means is that it becomes very habit-forming. What it means is that I have now experienced a high, like smoking on a joint, right? I'm high, and so that euphoria that I get from that is what brings me back to something that is a drug. I know it's bad for me. I know that it has control over me, but I'm drawn to it again. Why? Because of the euphoria, because of the endorphins that are released in my body, and I like that. Let's see. And by the way, when the euphoria goes away, and this is the serious nature of an addiction, is that when the euphoria goes away, there's a what's called a downer, right? Sometimes people in the drug world will take uppers and downers. They've got to have something to get them up and keep them up, and they got to have something to bring them down and keep them down for a while. And so they want to be down, let's say, for a 4 to 8 hour stretch of time, so they take the downers. But then they're so down, they need an upper to boost them back up. Well, the euphoria works that way. When the euphoria is gone, when the endorphins settle down, then all of a sudden, bam, you're in need of the euphoria again, and it's brought on by this sinful nature, or excuse me, this sinful activity. And so you go through that sinful activity again. You oftentimes know, listen, I don't want to do that, but you're drawn to that. That's the difference. That's why we call sin a medical problem, and it's not a medical problem, but it exhibits a euphoria that will draw us back. That's what sin does, by the way. And so the Bible is very plain about people who would engage in such an activity. In fact, those things that are of such a nature that release those endorphins and bring about that euphoria to humanity, those are things that the Bible spends a great deal of time on and basically says to us, stop that. You know, slaps the hand or maybe the back of the head and says, stop that. Don't go in that direction. Don't even start in that direction. Listen, the best way never to become an alcoholic is don't take a single drink. Don't look on the wine, right, as it sparkles in the cup. And so the Bible warns us about the serious nature of those things, and gossip and backbiting and talebearing and whispering, all of those things are items that are as dangerous as any habit-forming drug is. And so the Bible warns us. Let's look at the problem that we have. First of all, the Bible tells us that a man who engages in such, what is the word I heard the other day? Babbleaholics. They babble. They gossip. They're babbling, and an aholic. It's something that they've got to have. But notice how Proverbs 10 and verse number 18 describes this. He that hideth hatred in his heart, or hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Now that's pretty hard words, isn't it? So whatever we're engaging in with regards to these things, he says, the Bible says it is a fool. Look at chapter 11 and verse 9. "And hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall he be delivered." So the Bible talks about a person who deceives with his lips. "Oh, how you doing, neighbor? Love you. Well, I can't wait to get a hold." You see, that is a hypocrite. Is there any harsher words that God could have chosen than fool and hypocrite? I don't think so. Remember, I told you we're going to be a little blunt today, right? If you're standing in the way, you might want to get out of the way. You know, this is a sermon where people meet you at the back and say, "Well, preacher, you really stepped on my toes." And my general response is, "That's a shame. I wasn't aiming for your shoes. I was aiming for your heart." And so, but people understand, and I understand that these are tough sermons, but they need to be preached. Go back with me to Proverbs chapter 6. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 19, in that section of Scripture that is well known, right? "There are six things which the Lord hates, yea, seven which are an abomination unto him." Notice verse number 19. It says, "A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among his brethren." Sowing discord? The Bible says that God not only hates those things, but the Bible says that God says that it is an abomination. Now, in Luke chapter 6, we're probably pretty familiar with verse 46, right? Luke 6 and 46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Have you ever thought about the context of that statement? Look at verse number 45. "A good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." Now, that's interesting. So if a man is speaking evil, then he has an evil heart about himself. We should not be, by the way, and this is why I say, this is a study hall for the brave, for the spiritual minded Bible students. I'm not going to change the words of God just because they hurt, just because they are piercing and pricking the heart of man is no reason to change the word of God. Well, can't we find something a little bit smoother? Can't you say it a little bit sweeter? Don't you have any honey that you could drip off of your lips to make it sound a little bit better? No, I don't. And nor do I want to, because I'm not about to change the way God said things. God said, "That man is a fool. That man is a hypocrite. He is sowing discord. He has an evil heart." Notice 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 15. There the Bible says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's affairs." Do you see the relationship that this has, and the company that it puts you in? It puts you in the same company as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, if you are a busybody. If you're worrying about and engaging yourself in the affairs of other people, not for their best interest, but for their demise, right? That's what we're talking about in regards to that. Now turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and let's look at verse number 13 here. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "And with all they learn to be idle." These are young widows that are not getting married again. They're not engaging in family affairs, and they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Hey, do you know what I heard? Do you know what I saw the other day? If you have to begin a conversation that way, you need to stop. Not stop beginning a conversation that way. stop the conversation altogether. You become idle, and idleness breeds. That's why in the book of Proverbs, slothfulness and idleness is attacked so vehemently, because it is the open door to other sins in regards to this. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 1. Now, Romans chapter 1, you're very familiar with the context, right? But I want you to notice in verses 29 and 30, he's coming down to the conclusion of what a wicked lifestyle, ingratitude, and forgetting God brings about. So here's what it brings: being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. You see the relationship again, and the company that you're in when you engage in this kind of activity. God cannot be pleased with that kind of activity. In fact, if you turn with me to the book of Psalm, there is a very powerful statement that is made in Psalm 5 and verse number 9. Notice what he says. He says, "There is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward parts is very wickedness." Now notice, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If the heart is evil, then the words will be wicked. That's what he's saying here. "And there is no faithfulness," that is, they are not telling the truth. They are gossips, they're backbiters, they're whisperers. But notice, their throat is an open sepulcher. Every time they open their mouth, it's as if they are ready to receive dead bodies. Whew, that's a power. They flatter with their tongue. Flattery is never looked upon as a good thing in the mind of God. Never. Paul said that he wouldn't speak flattering words as he was teaching the gospel. He would not do so. And so their mouth is an open grave. Now, let's go back to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, I want us to look at verse number 36. The Bible says there, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." So when we stand before God, the words that I speak idly, not talking, this is not those that I've thought out, I've well designed, I've got, you know, this is not a legal brief that I have prepared with all of the details of the case in there. No. This is even the idle words that I have. Those words that, by the way, I should not speak. I'm going to give an account of those things in the judgment. So the Bible says, listen, there are a lot of tests, there's a lot of things that are going on, and people are, you see it all around you all the time, that we have a problem with our tongue. But as we talked about yesterday, James 3, and as we've talked about today thus far with all of this, Houston, we have a problem, right? We have a serious problem with regards to that. And so I wonder then, and I want to include this song at this time, I wonder if this song might suggest something very powerful with regards to that, and that is that God knew I needed a Savior.
God knew I needed a Savior.
I was deeply lost in sin.
I needed the key to glory,
or I could not enter in.
God sent His only Son
to our planet's sinful ground
in order to lift me up
my Savior descended down. That's not the only thing that my Savior had to do. He had to suffer a cruel death by religious people too. They scourged his sinless back, and they spit upon his face. They mocked God in the flesh and gave his love disgrace. Our meek and humble Savior drank the cruel and bitter cup. He laid down and took the nails in order to lift me up. Jesus laid down and took the nails in order to lift me up.
Ah, my friends, another very powerful song in regards to the subject that we're talking about. Gossip, whisper, tale-bearing, backbiting, these are all things that are sin. They're all things with our lips caused us to be separated from God, which was the driving force in the amazing grace of God to send His Son to die upon that cross. I wonder if when we start to open our mouths, if we could taste the bitter taste of the blood and sweat and tears of deity, whether or not that would cause us to act in a different way. Yes, Houston, we have a problem. But even more than that, there is a particular statement that is a truism in regards to the military. Sun Tzu, I believe, was one of the ones given credit for that, and that is that you ought to know your enemy. We need to know who our enemy is. Now, gossipers, whispers, backbiters, tailbearers, they come in all shapes and sizes. It doesn't matter, you know, this ideal of systemic racism is a farce. It is something that is designed to shade. It is a vice like any other. In regards to dealing with things, if I can just put it out here, then it really is not my problem. And if I can say that it's somehow systemic, then I can accuse everybody of the only thing systemic about humanity is the fact that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that sin is not about race. It's not about your geography. It's not about your gender. It's about your choice. And we need to be able to understand that. And so we need to know our enemies. And we need to know what a gossip looks like. Oh, they don't have shady eyes always. You can't always look into the eyes and say, oh, that's not true. Oh, I know we all have tales and things such as that people look at, but then there are some people that are really good at gossip and really good at lying. Listen, gossip lives in fear and in fear of getting caught for its true agenda. And self-deception is sometimes one of those fears that we live within. And so we even deceive ourselves. We tell ourselves over and over, well, I'm telling this is something that needs to be told. I'm doing this for their good. And we convince ourselves that is true, when in reality it's a secret. It's something that should be left where it is rather than brought to the forefront. And so whisperers, by the way, think about that. Even the terms that we utilize, right? I want to talk a little bit about inspired labels in just a minute. But think about whisperers. Why are they whispering? Because they're in a crowd. They don't want other people to hear what they have to say, right? I'm gonna stab somebody in the back. So it's called a backbiter, right? I mean, even the words that we choose, tail bearing. I have a tail, and I'm gonna bear it all around, right? Those are words that Scripture uses in order to describe. Now we might label it as, listen, gossip is stupid, it's crazy. That man's a liar or a cheat, or you know, we might talk about people from the vantage point that they're a thief, a snob, and it doesn't matter whether or not they really are. It's just that we believe that about that particular person at that particular time. But we use those kind of words like stupid and crazy and liar and cheat and slut and thief, and we use snobbery. We use those kind of labels in order to vilify somebody, right? Some of that will stick with people, and they will begin to see people in that light. But I want you to notice how the Bible describes these things. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 28, the Bible says there, a froward man soweth strife. Froward, this is a sinful, a man that is more brutish in his attack. He's soweth strife. And a whisperer separateth chief friends. The Bible describes him as a whisperer. Chapter 26 and verse number 20, the Bible describes that person as a tale bearer. You know, and when I think of a tale bearer, I think of a person who is bearing a tale. But think about it from this vantage point. This is Satan's delivery system. This is Satan's social network. I wonder if this is one of the reasons why social networking. Now, I understand there are other dynamics that can play. I'm on social, and maybe you as well, because I can study the Bible with people. I can read good sound articles, and I don't have to wait for them to be mailed to me. I can find them online. There's a social networking with my own family that I can keep in contact with parts of my family and where I couldn't before. I've got a son in Okinawa. I've got daughters in Oklahoma. I've got a son in Texas. I can keep in contact with some of them. I've got a sister in Oklahoma and her family, and I can keep in contact through social networking. There is that dynamic of it, but I wonder how many fall prey to the gossip, whispers, backbiting aspect of the social media as well, and whether or not that is as much a driving force as anything else. In regards to social media, we have to watch out lest we become Satan's delivery system in regards to that. How about the phrase used in 1 Timothy 5:13, a tattler, right? Well, that's really a childish thing, isn't it? The where the mouth is bigger than the heart, kind of thing. A tattler, I'm gonna tell on you, right? That's the kind of thing that a tattler does. It's not really important. It's not really life-shattering. It's just something insignificant. But I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to deal with the problem. I'm going to go tattle so somebody else can deal with it. Slanderer. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 11 is really the devil's language, right? That's what the devil does. He slanders people. A murmurer. A murmurer is a person who's never content. And never silent. It's irritating. It's a buzz that goes off in your head. You know, some people. We had a sweet sister here, I talked to her, and she said, you know, there's always a ringing in my head, and it's very frustrating when I'm trying to listen to the gospel or trying to sing. There's always this buzz going off. That's got to be so frustrating. And that's really what murmuring is. It's just it's a irritating buzz that people need to rid themselves of. Busybody, an energetic meddler, right? That's really what we're talking about here. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number. They're going to meddle in other people's affairs. They're busybodies. That's the way that the Bible describes them. So we need to know our enemy. Know what the Bible says. There are 30 or 40 different sins of the tongue that we ought to be aware of, and we've mentioned several of them in relationship to sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, words do hurt, and they can betray as well, and that's where the real hurt comes in. When somebody that is close to you, somebody that has gotten close to you under the guise of having your best interest at heart, and they don't, oh, that breaks, and that hurts immensely, right? Certainly it does. But I tell you what, I want to have a break here just for a second. I want to come back after the break, and I probably won't play all of this song, this is a beautiful song for us to listen to and take a break. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about that. If you're a person who has been tattled upon, that you're probably in pretty good company.
Arm in arm, we labor on. The sword of God, it guides our lives towards the prize, eternal life. We labor on,
arm in arm.
Church said, thank you. Service in His kingdom.
Thank you for putting God first. Thank you for sharing His gospel. Thank you for your hunger and thirst.
Arm in arm, we labor on.
The sword of God.
Friends, I said we wouldn't get to all of it. It's a beautiful song, though, the fact that we labor. We're in good company. Jesus made this particular argument in Matthew chapter 5 when he said, if you're persecuted, so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In other words, if you are being persecuted because of your faith, you're in good company, you see. Well, think about this. God was the first target of gossip and whisper and backbiting, Genesis chapter 3, and so that makes you in good company. Joseph in Genesis 39 was slandered. In Numbers chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron gossiped because Moses married and murmured because he married an Ethiopian woman. In Numbers 21, the people murmured that Moses had brought them out into the wilderness just so that they would die. In Numbers chapter 6, it was rumored that Nehemiah was trying to set himself up as a king. In Daniel chapter 6, there are tattlers that went around to find out whether or not they had set up the whole agenda where Daniel would go into his as he always did. They knew what he did. They knew that he was a praying man. And so he prayed and they went and tattled on him. He ended up in the lion's den, you remember. The Pharisees smeared John and Jesus by saying that John was a recluse and Jesus was a gluttonous drunk and that he was demon possessed. They sought to bring accusations against him in the trial the Jewish trial and then again in the civil trial, but none of those stuck. And so if you're the target of gossip and talebearing and backbiting and whispering and gossip, then you're probably in pretty good company this far, right? Think about how men use their mouths against the Lord, even up to the last day that he spent here upon this earth, that is, before he was crucified. Judas kissed him with a kiss of betrayal. Peter, while he was warming himself by that fire, denied the Lord three times, even to the point of cursing. False witnesses were brought in, and they blasphemed against Jesus. Pilate condemned him to death, even though he knew and proclaimed him to be an innocent man. Soldiers mocked him. They spit upon him. Thieves cursed him. The mob ridiculed him. The mob cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And yet, there are others that surrounded this scenario, but there's one man that stands out quite prominently, and that is the centurion who confessed him. Surely, this is the Son of God. How we use our mouths or our tongues in relationship to our Lord becomes very important. And so, maybe I could close, and we're coming down to the very last few minutes, by suggesting to you and I, we have the ability to rise above whatever they do. God is still God, regardless of what Satan says about him. Regardless of all the atheistic deniers that are out there, God is still God. Joseph still rose to be second unto Pharaoh, regardless of what they tried to do unto him. Moses still led the people of God to the edge of the promised land. Daniel still served in three kingdoms at the request or at the permission of God, because regardless of what they did about him. John still did his duty. He still proclaimed the truth that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus fulfilled the plan of God regardless of what Peter or other people would say about him, regardless of what the mob cried out, regardless of what Pilate did, regardless of the thieves on either side and the soldiers who spit upon him, he still fulfilled the plan of God. Paul went from being the hunter to the hunted in regards to this, but he was the man of God who finished his course. My friends, it is always better. Remember this if you remember nothing else that I said this morning. It is always better to be the target than the talebearer. And we've got to thicken up our skin a little bit. We can take things wrong even when they're not meant that way. We can be hypersensitive in these areas. We do need to lighten up just a little bit in regards to some of these things, right? But even if the abuse is real, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. The apostles left the council thinking themselves to be blessed because they were counted worthy to suffer. So my friends, oh yes, it is true, Houston, we have a problem, right? It is true we ought to know our enemies. But in spite of all of it, if we're receiving this, we're in good company. And so with thick skin, we prepare to meet our Lord because we're walking on heaven's road. My friends, I want to thank you for joining me today here on Reflections upon the Precious Book Divine.